is that prayer is really like the place where scripture is to be read. It's what I do in coming to it before I ever get there that seems to make it God's voice to me, where I hear him speaking through it on a much more personal level. And so all this other has become really, really important part, but it always leads me to the scripture. But before I get there, I often will sing, and usually choruses, songs, vineyard songs that just come to my mind, most of them from the 1990s, I found. And this is one, and I'll just sing a part of it. Light of the world, shine your light into my heart. God of love, pierce my soul with your mercy, so I might know your glory, so I might see your face, so I can feel your heartbeat and hear you call my name. Fire of God, burn away what is not holy. Jesus, take my heart and make it new. I want us to sing that together. I want you to sing it for you. Is this your prayer and desire for the Lord? And Jessica and Carla will lead us into that. This is part of you being a part of what I do with God, making it your own. Always sing what I call a spirit song. It's one calling on the spirit, and this has become one that I've done a lot. Breathe on me, breath of God, my spirit yearns for you. Hide me in your fathering arms, fill up my longing soul. Flood over me like a river, my God. Immerse me in your living. awaken the song that you've placed in my heart. Spirit, breathe on me. Spirit, breathe on me. Let's do that. Kind of following this line, although the words may be different, before I come to the scripture. Holy Spirit, will you grace my eyes and my ears that I could see what's on the page, that I could see what you want to bring to my attention, what you want me to alert me to. Grace me to perceive what I'm reading. Grace my mind to comprehend its meaning, and especially what it means for me, what you're inviting me to, whether what you're offering to me or what you're asking from me. I want to get that. Grace my heart to be open to what I see, to what I understand, to what you offer. I want to be able to say yes and to be responsive to you. Enable me to do that. Grace my body that I'll live into what I learn, what I hear and see and come to know. I don't want to just leave it here, Lord. I want to become that person and live that life. And in all of it, I want to know you. I want to know you more. I want to know your heart. I want to walk with you, live in you, depend on you, be a part of you. I want it to be true that in you I live and move and have my being. May it be today. Amen. So I'm going to open Philippians this morning because I love the Apostle Paul. Most of you would choose the Gospels. I would choose Paul. And I've been reading his writings, I don't know, close to a year now. In my time, I feel like I've gotten to know him, even love him. Of course, I love God the most, but I should tell you this before I open it. I know I'm crying a lot, but I don't usually cry this much, but I probably cry every day when I'm alone with God. And I usually cry when I read scripture too. It's just like my response to the overwhelming reality of Christ in my life and how he speaks to me, shows himself to me. Pretty cool thing. I want this for all of you too. I know some of you are there. I need a cheat sheet to remember what passages I wanted to kind of read first, how I was going to do this. So I want to start with Philippians 1, 20 to 26. And for those of you who are like, the message, I got the New Living Translation today. So Philippians 1, starting at verse 20. And I'm going to kind of translate it a little bit to make sense for my life. Wait a second. Is that the right place? Almost. It's the wrong page. Oh my lands, this is crazy. You guys are making me nervous. One. Oh yeah, thank you, Donna. I always turn my light on at that point so I can see the text. And just so we're being real, I blow the candles out so they'll last longer. I've been digging candles out of a closet that we have in my... Okay. Well, I just hope I'm getting this right. This is in verse 20. For I fully expect and hope, but I will never be ashamed. That I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. Believe me, I feel like I'm being really bold today in doing this. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. Now, I don't plan on dying anytime soon. I don't want to die anytime soon. My son and daughter-in-law and grandkids were here in first service, and it reminded me what I've kind of thought. Sayla is 9, and she reminded us going on 10. It's like, I want to see her get married and have her first baby. And if she does it at a reasonable age, I think that puts me around 90. So I got to be around for a while. But I thought, I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I'm a senior pastor or an associate pastor, or I'm not a pastor at all. I'm just a person who belongs to Jesus and is part of his life. For to me, living means living for Christ. And in light of that, dying is even better. Paul means because he's going to be with him more fully. But if I live, well then, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. Now, I really like that about Paul, because I think a lot of my pastoral life I've tried to figure out which is first, you know, which is the number one priority. You know, is it worship? Is it discipleship? Is it mission? And I love that Paul compares serving the church and knowing Jesus and says, I don't know which is better. Or if I had to choose, what I would choose, I'm torn between two desires. I long to be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue. And then he really messes with us and says, knowing this, I'm convinced that I'll remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. I guess in some way, I've never considered myself like special for being a pastor, honestly. I really have never thought about it that way. But I do realize, to some degree, what a privileged life I've had to be able to teach and serve and love and pray for and dedicate and baptize and marry and worship together and pray for healing and scare a few, cast out demons from a few of you. You can laugh. You can laugh. And just do it all together from this side of it. Who gets to spend, and you know, honestly for me, most of the last 40 years, I've gotten to share what I've come to know and learn and feed on and grow in and understand. And I've gotten to do that so many weeks of the last 40 years. Not many people get to do that. So I really can understand the conundrum of, I don't know, is it better just to give my life to knowing Jesus or to serving you? And I'm glad I'm still going to be a pastor for a while. But I really want to know Jesus. And my prayer is that in the future, moving forward, that helping, finding how to lead others and others to enter into this kind of quality and depth and intimacy of life with God, that I can help people do that. I think that's something I have to share and something that's been given to me. So, you know, for Paul and for me, it makes sense. I'm turning back here a little earlier in Philippians 1. He says, and I can say, so it's right that I should feel as I do about all of you. For you have a special place in my heart. There is no one else that we've lived with all these years, done everything with. You're not just like parishioners. You're our friends. This really is family. Other than my son and his family, all of our family live far from here and have for the past 34 years. We don't know anything different. And we thank you for that. Now, there was a part I forgot to read. It made me laugh a little bit. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. But, well, that's almost true. Paul may be that far advanced, but there are times when I've probably struggled, you know. But I'm growing, and I do love you guys. When I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, because you have been our partners in spreading the good news about Jesus from the first time we came here in June 1st, 1984 to today. We are partners, and that's very special. So I can cry as much as I want. And I'm certain, reading here, that God, who began the good work within you, will continue it until it's finished on the day when Christ returns. And it doesn't need me to be senior pastor. My confidence is in the Lord. So I was just thinking about the privilege. I had a couple slides. Thinking about the privilege that it's been being given the responsibility to lead this church, well, you know, that could be a burden. I've not really felt it that way. I felt a privilege and an honor. I've moved my office. I didn't wait, you know, until Josh was going to get here tomorrow in town. But I moved in about 2 weeks ago. Wanted to see what it feels like to be in the associate's office. But I put these three albums. Could you guys find those? Yeah. Those are actually the first three albums produced by this church, worship albums, songs written by people in this church. And I found three of the albums not even opened yet, and so I kept them, I framed them, and I'm not giving them to Josh. I'll find something else to pass along, but this is not it. To me, these represent the history of this church. The vision that God gave Herschel Rosser, who founded it, and then Bert Wagner, who trusted me with the life and mission of this church. I tell you, the last number of years I kept saying, oh God, please don't let me blow it up before my time is done. We're here today. And we're still alive, and the church exists, and I haven't screwed up my life. I'm so happy for that. I'm just so happy that God has kept me close to Him. And I don't know, it's going to sound like I'm bragging. I didn't say this first service. But that He's made me a person of integrity. That I'm the real deal. Has made this an awesome ride. And you guys have been amazing to live it with and do it with. People have told me from other denominations, never heard this in the Vineyard, you know, all the jokes about pastors and their boards and the powerful families who try to run them off and stuff like that or make life miserable. It's like, I know what they're saying, but I don't understand those jokes. I have never experienced them in any way in my life here. I truly believe that I have gotten more out of this than you have because of who you guys are and the quality of life that you have in Christ and your true heart for Him. You are the real deal. And we've gotten to share that, and we're going to keep doing it for years to come. We're not late. Did I tell you I'm not retiring? Right? Okay. I just want to say that. Say that again. And, somebody had taken that picture, I can't remember when that was, and just wanted to say, what an amazing thing that I've got to spend all these years learning, growing, studying, grappling with the Bible, theology, culture, trying to make as much sense as I can, and then getting to talk with you about that. That's just been awesome. I think I will miss won't miss all the work preparing that comes with that, but I think I might miss that. And I need to thank you guys for keeping me so healthy and trim, because for 34 years, I have walked those many times every day, just about, for the last 34 years, and I never fell once, and that's a good thing. All right. I have a verse I want to read and then a prophetic word. It's not my prophetic word. I want to share with you. We're back in Philippians. I'm just looking at my sheet to remember where I'm supposed to be. This is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection or maturity, but I press on to possess that maturity for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I should read that line again. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Hey, wait, I like this next verse. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. And if you disagree on some point, I think God will make it plain to you that we're all moving ahead. We're moving forward as a church. I want to move forward as a church. I want to move forward as a man. And we will. God is calling us to a new season, to a new time. And I have a lot of great expectations for it. And so let's do that together. In 1979, Bert Wagner was a senior pastor then. In his sermon, he said something like, and what God has done in the past is like peanuts compared to what he's going to do in the future. Well, fortunately, there was a better poet in the church, Rick Tankersley. And so he actually kind of wrote this prophetic word and turned it into a song called My High Call. I thought about singing it. I thought better. So I'm just going to read it to you. Understanding that some of the language used for our deficiencies, we wouldn't use these words today. You'd probably find them in the King James Bible. But the point is, we're people who lack, we have weaknesses, we don't have it together, and yet God still says this to us. You who are deaf, hear the word of the Lord. You who are blind, behold his mysteries. Lame ones, carry the gospel of peace. Dumb ones, with boldness, speak the truth in love. Though I've done great things in your midst, what I've done so far is but a taste of things to come. Forgetting those things which are laid behind, press forth to my high call. Why don't we stand up? I'm going to pray a blessing. I'll tell you what I'm laughing about. Because I am laughing at the moment. I looked up at the clock and realized I've been overtime. But all right, what a way to do it, you know? So let me just pray a blessing over you guys. Thank you. Look forward to our life together. Thank you for those of you who are in other churches now for being here with Don and I today. So let me just bless you. May the immense depth that is in the heart of God be opened up to you. May you know him, his breadth, his height, and his depth. And all that can be known in this life of him. And may that knowledge fill your life with joy and be a light in our world. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Thank you guys again. Appreciate you.